Hey, good morning, Encounter. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. We got to try that again. Let's give the Lord a hand today. Just praise Him. For He is the reason we are here this morning. It is great to be together as a church family. It's just good to look around the room and see your faces. Just a curiosity, how many of you are baseball fans in the room? I want to see your hands. How many of those are Dodger fans out there? Now, I'm sure some of you Dodger fans and probably baseball fans in general were not that surprised when Shohei Ohtani, a week ago, this last Thursday, got his 50-50. So 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases in the same season, and he accomplished it in the same game. The only Dodgers player to ever have gotten 50 home runs in a season. But because of who he is, you probably weren't completely surprised. But what would be surprising is if you were wherever you live and you heard a knock on your door and you opened it and there standing in front of you was Shohei Ohtani himself. And he had his dog Decoy with him, who's somewhat famous as well. And he had the ball that he had hit the 50th home run this season with. And he signed it and he wanted to give it to you as a gift. Now, would that be fun or what to have that show up on your front door? And I have a feeling in a different way, but with as much joy and more, that may have been how the Apostle Paul felt when he was under house arrest in Rome, awaiting trial for standing for his faith in Christ. His life was on the line, and he got a knock on the door, and this man by the name of Epaphroditus showed up, sent by the church in Philippi, 900 miles away, with a gift, a financial gift, and encouragement for him. And I'm pretty sure in that moment that that gift brought all kinds of joy to the Philippian church who had sent Epaphroditus, and to Paul who received the gift, and to God in that moment. And my hope this morning is that every one of us will connect in just a little bit greater way the joy of God and the ability in our life to express generosity on His behalf. Because in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19, where we are this morning, that is what this passage is all about. Joyful generosity for God's glory. Now, I know whenever a pastor talks about generosity on any level, they have to give a few disclaimers, okay? A few caveats. And I don't want to disappoint you this morning, so I'm going to give you a couple, all right? So here's the first one, okay? You ready? Ready for this? Prepare for more joy, okay? Period. Right, just right there. Prepare for more joy, and wait, maybe not period. Prepare for more joy with a little bit of contentment woven into the middle of it somewhere. And then secondly, my second one is a little bit of a warning, because the Apostle Paul is on fire in this passage when it comes to generosity on God's behalf. And he gets a little out of control, because basically what he does is he gives us two main points, and then 3 points about his second main point, and then 4 points about his third point about the second main point. And I went to seminary and I figured that out, all right? So we're going to need God's help this morning. So I think we should pray. Why don't you stand with me? And before you close your eyes and we pray together this morning, because we want to meet with the Lord today and continue to, there's a couple things we want to pray about. One, I just want to let you know, we're going to take a little break from the book of Philippians for the next few Sundays, because we're going to talk about God and politics. So, man, it's just on the hearts of everyone around us, and we want to have a biblical heart, mind, and thinking as we walk through this season. And I figure, hey, if I'm going to cover generosity, I might as well talk about politics at the same time. I mean, I'm taking a risk with one. Might as well go for it. No, that's where our world is right now, and that's where we need to seek God's word. And then also, we're going to pray this morning. Just, I know some of you have loved ones in the Southeast that just went through the hurricane, and so much going on in our nation, and so we just want to lift up just people around our nation today. So, Father God, we just come to you as your church. God, we just say thank you that we get to worship you this morning. Thank you that we get to come into your presence and seek your heart. through your living word and just express our love to you. And we lift up those in the nation, some we know, some we don't, Lord, some who have lost loved ones through this Hurricane Helene, Lord, over 50 people, God. We pray for just so many who have had devastating losses in their life in one form or another. And Jesus, we know that you are loving enough and powerful enough to bring good out of the toughest things. And so we lean into that promise today. And Lord, we lean into your promises as we go to your word and ask you to speak just loudly and quietly all at the same time through your spirit. And we pray this in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I want to begin with this. Joy comes through the Lord's provision. Say that out loud with me. Joy comes through the Lord's provision. One of my all-time spiritual mentors once said that, and I've never forgotten it, that when God provides in our life in some form or matter, there's a joy that we experience. And so you get that new job, there's joy. When you get that unexpected promotion, there is joy. When you're able to buy that car you so desperately need and you get a great deal on it that you didn't expect it, there is joy. When the finances are super, super tight and those groceries miraculously show up in your house, there is joy. Which is why the Apostle Paul says this to the Philippian church, led by God's Spirit. I rejoiced, I'm in chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. There's a lot of rejoicing going on. That now at length you revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. A little background, God had used the Apostle Paul to reach a whole bunch of people for Jesus in the city of Philippi 10 years before. And now he's writing back to this group of Christ followers in Philippi that has grown beyond that at this point. But 10 years is a long time. I was thinking about 10 years and who has been on our staff for about 10 years. And there's one person in particular. You probably won't guess who they are, but I thought I saw them earlier. They're in the room here somewhere. And that is Pastor Austin. Pastor Austin grew up within our youth ministry, and then he began on staff as an intern about 10 years ago for the youth ministry. Then he became the creative director for our youth ministry, and then after that, God raised him into our youth pastor, and he's starting his fourth year as our youth pastor. And how awesome! May we give God the glory that he used all of you, along with his great work, to raise up such a courageous and creative youth pastor that's reaching students for Christ. Can we just give the Lord a hand for that? I think that's pretty amazing. You know, some of our student ministry just got back from Moose Mountain this weekend, and I see some of you in the room. Like, when you go to Moose Mountain camp, like, you don't get any sleep. So just showing up for church, you get extra points, all right? So you may need to praise God sideways for each other and keep each other awake this morning, because I know you got no sleep. It's like a requirement for camp. But one of the things we need to know about the church in Philippi with the Apostle Paul is that they were some of his most faithful financial supporters. And we know from the book of Acts that God actually used this church in Philippi to help fund the Apostle Paul's ministry to begin churches in Corinth and Berea and Thessalonica. Like, God used this group over here to do this amazing work over here. And the book of Philippians, in many ways, is a God-inspired thank you letter from a global partner, the Apostle Paul, to a group of people that are supporting him, the church in Philippi. And it's full of all kinds of joy and theology in the pages in between. And it's much like having visitors with us today, like Nathan and Naomi, two of our global partners, and Noah, Natanya, and Nigel, the rest of their family. We're so thankful to have with them today. In fact, let's give the Lord a hand for them joining us this morning. So thankful for them. They're going to be on the patio after the service is over, and I just hope you'll overwhelm them, swamp them, and just let them know how thankful you are for them, how much you love them. I also know they're trusting the Lord for before they go back to where they are on ground and reaching people for the Lord in South Asia, that they're needing a little bit of support. So maybe God will lead your heart in that. But we're just so thankful to have them today. And it appears that with the church in Philippi, that for some reason there was a pause in their financial support for the Apostle Paul. Because he says how thankful he is that they have revived their concern for him. We don't know why, but for some reason there was a break in their pattern of financial giving, which actually happens all the time. Like, life changes, life happens, there's different seasons of life, and all of a sudden the Lord nudges your heart again or nudges you in a new way. And not only that, one of the things we learn about the Philippian Christ followers is that we could call them unique. They were like unique in a life of generosity, because 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 3 says they actually gave out of their poverty. And consider what that means for a moment, because it means that they had next to nothing, and yet somehow they found a way to be a part of gospel ministry in an expanding way. It means that somehow they gave up some things that other people might consider necessities in order to see God's gospel work expand, in this case, through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, I don't know what they gave up. Maybe they gave up their Netflix subscription. You know, who knows? Maybe it was their NFL Plus premium package. I actually don't think it was probably any of those things. I think it was probably stuff that was much more day-to-day. And as a result, you know, they gave this number to Paul's ministry. It probably looked small to certain people, but it was huge in God's economy. And as a result, they're famous for it for all eternity because of how they let the Lord use their life. And it's one of the reasons here at Encounter, one of the phrases you'll hear from us sometimes is that every dollar makes a difference in the lives of people through the generosity ministry of our church, through all the ways that God is using our church family, both locally and around the world. And I would suggest to you this morning that some of the most thrilling times in life is when God provides. You couldn't see how he was going to do it, and he did it. Amen. You know, in a small way, but in a similar way, it's a little bit where we find ourselves as a church family right now after summer. We were looking at just our generosity ministry as a church in June, July, and August, which really is the launch of our fiscal ministry budget that we're trusting God for as a whole church family in this next year. And as we look at our generosity ministry, the giving of our church, it's down about 30% during those three summer months. And, you know, you think about that, well, you know, probably not surprising. Inflation is high right now. I know of people who have lost jobs in this season. And summer tends to be some of the lowest giving times for churches in general. But 30% for us, just to put that in perspective for you, is about $55,000 a month. As we are trusting God for an over $2 million budget in this fiscal year. And so as a result, we've asked our staff to cut budgets back by 30% and to streamline things as we're asking God to show up in the midst of all of that. But this is the crazy thing for us at Encounter, because even though our summer giving ministry is down about 30% over the summer, just about every other ministry in our church is like multiplying, expanding, growing at the same time. And so the last thing that we want to do right now is pull back in certain ways. And as I said, you know, like, we just had 80 students go to Moose Mountain. I want you to think about that for a moment. 80 middle school and high school students took a weekend to invest in their life in Jesus Christ. And have all kinds, yeah, give the Lord a hand. And have all kinds of fun at the same time. And probably some there hearing about knowing Jesus for the very first time. And we're even looking right now at the possibility of a one-day youth conference in the new year that will serve students in our area beyond our church family. And it follows this vein that we just believe that God wants to use us as a church family to be an equipping and restoration center for the region in the name of Jesus, helping to equip parents and marriages and students and men and women, and more on all that to come in the coming days. But I always love to share just praise reports, because not I get to hear them, but not all of you get to hear them. Some of you know this, but this last week, MomCo began for the first time, formerly known as Moms Next. But we had about 40 women on Tuesday night, over 100 women on Wednesday morning, more women than we've had at the start of a MomCo ever in our history. Praise God for that. That is so awesome what the Lord is doing. We're already getting geared up for our charged men's conference in the spring. We just saw God show up in powerful ways, and we're already anticipating how the Lord wants to work in this next year. We had the IF conference with 430 women this last season. This year, we're having our own Encounter Women's Conference, and I always have to say that Lindsay and Kelly and their team are just a little God crazy to trust the Lord for a conference for over 400 people at any time, but we praise the Lord for that. And as Shelley shared, we have the awesome privilege of being partnered with 17 different global partner families around the world who are strategically placed by Jesus to be a light in some of them, in some of the least reached areas of the world. And we praise God for the privilege of being able to do that. You know, just about a month from now, on November 3rd, we have our All Together service. If you're newer with us, on that day, we just have one service. And it's Daylight Savings Sunday, and it's at 10 a.m. And we're going to be talking about just who Jesus is to us and where he's taking us in the future. And we have breakfast beforehand. But I want to encourage you to get there early. One, because it fills up fast. But also because our students are going to be sharing something right at the beginning that you're not going to want to miss. I'm just telling you right now, you don't want to miss it. And then our Praise Kids will be sharing as well. And even Praise Kids this year has just ballooned from where God had it last year. And so God is just moving. We give him the glory. I even look at some of our efforts in the community with our Treasured Harvest Vacation Bible School and this ministry to the migrant community in Oxnard. Right now we have some other opportunities in Ventura where God has just completely opened the door. We're being asked for help, and we're just trying to discern, Lord, where do you want our hit and our focus in this season as the Lord is moving among us? And so God is moving, and today maybe God's moving in your heart to be a part of the generosity team of Encounter, to be a part of all that, because, and I want you to say it with me, I'll say it first, then you say it with me, joy comes through the Lord's provision. Let's say it out loud together. Joy comes through the Lord's provision. And I will add that joy continues through a heart of contentment. Because so often in our culture, where we once had joy can evaporate so quickly, but joy continues as God develops fulfillment and contentment in us. And so Paul says in verse 11, not that I'm speaking of being in need. And so he's anticipating how the Philippians are going to respond there. I'm like, okay, Paul, we know. Every time that things are going great for you, you're doing well. And every time things are not going great for you, you're grumbling. But he's actually not asking from a place of desperation. If you skip down to verse 18, he says, I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So one day, Paul's in Rome under house arrest, chained to two smelly, hard-bitten, foul-mouthed Roman soldiers, probably who just recently came to know the Lord through Paul's life. And there's a knock on the door. It's like, knock, knock. Who's there? Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus who? Epaphroditus from Philippi. Epaphroditus from Philippi, you just came 900 miles. Come on in. I mean, it would be like Ohtani standing there with a baseball, but with way more significance with Epaphroditus showing up. He went over 900 miles with risk of his own life. We're talking, this is San Francisco to Seattle by foot in dangerous territory. My niece just got finished hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. That's from Mexico's border to Canada through the mountains. She started in May and ended in September. Crazy. This was a crazy journey for Epaphroditus. And so look at verse 11. It says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Joy comes through the Lord's provision. Joy continues through a heart of contentment. Hebrews 13:5 adds, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And notice the how and the why we can be content. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The presence of Christ in any situation is what allows us to be fulfilled and content. Would you say amen? The power and presence of Jesus in any situation. And may I also be clear this morning, since we're talking about generosity, having and having things is not wrong. Can you say amen to that in church? All right, no, it's not. God gives us stuff to enjoy and to bless others and have all kinds of fun in this world. Having things is not wrong. It's when having has us that it begins to become wrong. J.D. Rockefeller, one of the wealthiest people of his time, was once asked, how much is enough? And he historically answered, just a little bit more. Joy continues through a heart of contentment. And then Paul gives us three things about contentment. He starts out and he says, contentment is a secret learned through Christ. And contentment is a strength received from Christ. And contentment is a secret learned in the class of life. And part of what the Bible is telling us today is that the class of life has two semesters, all right? There's two main semesters in the class of life. And we see the first one in the beginning of the next verse where Paul writes, I know how to be brought low. Anybody know how to be brought low? I've had it. And then comes the second semester, and I know how to abound. And the word abound means to have overflow, excess. And so being brought low and being brought high raises two questions in the class of life. Are we able to feel like we're being brought low and not run from it, not run from God in it, not blame other people for it, and to actually trust God for his daily bread in the midst of it, and even experience joyful generosity for others around us, maybe in ways that we never even had thought of before because we weren't being brought low? And are we able to have God aboundingly give resources in our life and not have those resources draw our hearts away from the Lord and to grow in joyful generosity in proportion to the abounding that God is doing? And then Paul states the secret of contentment, and it's so rich that I can only touch on it today. I'm actually going to come back to it in a month because we've got to just seep in it. It comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, one of those famous, famous verses in the Bible that says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible, maybe beyond John 3:16. And I would argue maybe one of the most often misinterpreted verses of the entire Bible. Because the question is, what are the all things in this verse? You know, you may have seen Philippians 4:13 written on the back of a famous person's sports jersey. Ever seen that? You know, one of the famous historical moments where this happened was in a boxing match between Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson's all over the news again right now because he's 58 years old and he's going to be boxing Jake Paul, who's 27. Who does that, all right? but it's all over the news. I know why he's doing it. It's called $20 million. But anyway, but a long time before now, Evander Holyfield and Tyson were in a boxing match, and Evander Holyfield came out with his boxing robe on and had Philippians 4:13 on the back. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that meant that he was going to beat up Mike Tyson in the fight. And he did. And everybody thought Evander Holyfield was the real deal. But then he had to fight Lennox Lewis. And he had, I can do all things. And he lost to Lennox Lewis. So I can do all things must not mean that you can beat someone up in a boxing match. Or maybe you have this test that you were supposed to study for, but you don't study for. And you say, I can do all things through whom strengthens me. God's going to help me ace the test, even though I didn't study for it. I don't think that's what Philippians 4:13 is saying, that we can beat someone up or ace a test we haven't studied for. The purpose of the verse is to tell us that we are rich in Jesus Christ alone, no matter what our circumstances are. No matter what, you are rich in Jesus. And God will so often use joyful generosity to express that. And the all things are two things, and I pray God works a wonder in our hearts right now. Because the all things are two things. That I may be content in Jesus Christ, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, even when I feel like I'm being brought low. And that I may be content, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, when things are abounding and they're excessive around me in my life. That we find our strength and our joy in Christ in both situations, low or high. And that we are good stewards of our life with joy in either situation. And either situation has different challenges. And it's an active contentment that God is calling us to, because God is doing something in us. And he's doing something in us. He's equipping us for him to do something through us. And as he is doing that, one of the things he loves to do through us is joyful generosity for his glory. Because contentment is developed, it grows through a heart of giving. And now he's given us the third idea about his second main point about contentment. And he gives us four things about the third thing that's about the second main thing. Are you following me now? Okay, you got this. I went to seminary. And I know, because I'm talking about generosity and joyful giving, some of you in the room are like, joyful giving? Give me a break, Pastor. And some of you in the room are like, oh, honey, hold on to your purse. He's going to ask for money now, all right? Get ready to run. Others of you in the room, you're like, joyful giving? I have been tithing like for 30 years. I don't even think about it anymore. It's like on, you know, just it just happens. And I'm not sure I'm really connected to joy in it. But what I want to do right now actually is actually have you listen to two people who have grown in the joy of generosity and moved from a place of feeling pressure in church and generosity to feeling joy. Why don't you listen to the testimony of Shannon and Tyler?
I grew up in the church and was taught from a very young age that tithing is an act of obedience to the Lord. Being really young, you know, you don't really have a lot of money or income, but my parents would teach us any sort of, you know, gift that we would get for our birthday or Christmas, just to give a little, and helped build that biblical principle into our lives.
Initially, we didn't have much when we started out, and so we would give what we were comfortable with. And then we were presented the opportunity to give our time volunteering in children's ministry, and we kind of felt as though giving our time made up for the amount that we couldn't give financially. And then slowly over time, we realized that the Lord calls us to be obedient in our giving, not just in our finances, but also in our time. And so slowly we started increasing our financial giving, increasing our volunteering opportunities. And as we have done that, we've just seen the Lord bless us beyond measure. Anything that we need, he provides.
We live out our pattern of giving in both a passive and active way. Passive meaning, you know, the financial side of it. with our normal tithe, and then some, you know, additional contributions, whether it's at year end or whenever the Lord is calling us to, you know, stretch our finances a little bit further than normal, and an active manner of serving through children's ministry, getting involved in small groups, or any other sort of opportunities where they need volunteers, whether it's the Welcome Here booth or other, you know, ministries that we can just be a part of, and just be the hands and feet of Jesus.
One thing that has led us to become more faithful in our giving is seeing spiritual leaders within our church and how generous they are. That's just led us to follow their lead. We really feel that God has transformed our hearts by taking us from a position of tithing and giving out of a feeling of pressure to cheerfully giving. We truly have joy in giving our money and giving our time, knowing that we are giving to back to the Lord, giving what He has given us and what He has blessed us with.
And so, as an act of love, an act of obedience, you know, we're called or basically the Lord instructs us to give our time, give our finances. In a sense, we're loving our Heavenly Father and allowing our time or talents to spread love to those around us.
Hey, can we give a hand to Shannon and Tyler? How cool that they would be vulnerable in sharing their continued journey and generosity. And their story is like so many other stories where they came to this place with God when it comes to the principle of the tithe. They're like, 10%? Are you kidding me, God? You've got to be joking. The word has got to be joking. And then all of a sudden they went, okay, no, we're going to trust you for it. We're going to take a step of faith and we're going to go for it. And God meets them in it. And I would tell you that the joy is sometimes in the giving of the gift, and the joy also often is seeing the fruit of it in the lives of people around you. And they also shared about how sometimes God will lead someone to give an above and beyond gift from their normal giving. And as a church, when it comes to our budget, how God funds everything we do as a church, I would tell you it's some of those Spirit-led, just joy-filled, spontaneous, one-time gifts that really bridge the gaps in some of the toughest seasons for us financially in doing all that the Lord is doing around us. And one of the things that I want to invite everyone who considers Encounter to be your home is to take a faith step with us and be a part of our generosity team. Be a part of the giving ministry of our church that funds everything that God is doing. And between these next 3 months into the end of the year, take a step of faith and trust God for something. Whether it's 2% in a regular systematic way, or whether it's trusting God for the full tithe or growing towards the tithe, and see what He does in your life. And I also want to say thank you to all of you who are a part of the giving ministry on any level. Thank you for being a part of what God is doing, because God is doing awesome things through your life. And at Encounter, we teach the principle of the tithe. And what that means is that we're a give-first church because we serve a give-first God. We give from the first of what God's given us. The Bible calls it our first fruits, because God gave first to us through His Son, who was the first fruit sacrifice for us. And we teach the principle of the tithe, that 10% is like this biblical starting goal of generosity in our life as part of the local church. But then God grows us in generosity in so many different ways. And so when we give, because we're giving from our first fruits, we're actually worshiping and celebrating Jesus as the first fruit of our life. It's an act of worship that lifts Him up in that way as we're getting to be a part of all that God is doing. And one of the things I've learned in life is that 90% with God is far more than 100% without Him. It is true. I can say that with full conviction. I would also tell you that if you give as part of the giving ministry of our church, you will have less money. You will. I know pastors tell you different all the time. And I know God will just always outbless us in one way or another, now or later. But you'll have less money. You may take slightly different vacations. You may give up certain things like the Philippians did. But you will have more. you will have more invested in the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ. And I know that God's math, when it comes to generosity, is an awesome glory. And it is. And it is thrilling. Which is why Paul continues with a series of things that connect giving and joy, where he says, joyful giving brings encouragement. He says, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And he goes, whoa, this Epaphroditus, this is the biggest act of encouragement in bringing this gift with all this risk. And I want you to know, when you give as part of the ministries of our church, there are all kinds of people locally and around the world that you are encouraging in the Lord and that you get to be a part of. And it's why on your chair today there was a card that says, trusting God with a promise. And I actually want you to think about this as almost like Epaphroditus coming, you know, to your door, to the door of the church, just saying an encouragement to be a part of something that we're calling a 3-month challenge in October, November, and December, where you would respond and say, yeah, I'll be a part of this. And there's 3 different ways that you could respond today. One is just to say, hey, I'm going to continue in faith what we've already been doing. We don't need to know the amount. We just want a name to say, I'm taking a step of faith, and it's going to continue through the end of the year. Another way you could respond is maybe you're newer to our church family, or you've never been a part of the generosity ministry, and you say, hey, I'm going to start trusting the Lord for some percentage. You don't need to put what it is. We just want your name and say, I'm taking a faith step with all the rest of you with the Lord in this season. Or maybe the third way you respond is by saying, I just feel like God's leading me to give a little bit more than I have in the past, or a one-time gift. Don't need to know the amount, just that I am trusting in faith with all of you. And we're asking you to trust God for it for 3 months. And if you get to January and God has not shown up for you, however he's going to show up for you, you can ask him for a full refund, okay? I'm just kidding. Malachi 3:10 says this, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. And see, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. You can turn those cards in the offering. You can take them home. There's actually a QR code. You can respond anytime. If you're married or have a friend that you give with, then talk about it together and see how the Lord leads you. All we ask you to do is take it before the Lord. And I do believe it's important for you to know that for my wife Amy and I, we give beyond the tithe for Encounter. We always have. We always will. We give from our gross combined salary. We have global partner people that God's placed in our life. We support them beyond all of that. And we do so with joy. And we are trusting the Lord with you for all the Lord has ahead for us as a church. Because joyful giving also expresses partnership. Verse 15, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. And the Philippians came alongside Paul in Thessalonica, Berea, and Corinth, and now in Rome to show their partnership in the gospel. And what gave the Apostle Paul so much joy was not the amount of the gift, but it was the evidence of their partnership in the gospel together. And that leads us to joyful giving reflects our gratitude. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And Paul refers to generosity in the kingdom as a sacrifice, an act of worship, which is why, as a church, we talk about generosity and giving as being part of a life of worship. And part of why the Philippians were able to give sacrificially was because they were so grateful for what God had given them through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's a little bit like when you go on vacation, and say you go on vacation to Hawaii, and you ask one of your friends to take care of all of your pets. Ever done that before? And so they take care of your pet iguana, and your pet hamster, and even your pet snail. Do any of you have pet snails out there? I highly recommend snails as pets. They're easy to feed, and if they die, you can replace them easily, okay? But say someone takes care of your pets, and you come back from vacation, and if you went to Hawaii, you're going to give them a box of chocolate-covered macadamia nuts. Anybody ever done that to a friend, okay? And so your gift is inferior to the level of generosity and care that they showed you in taking care of your animals. And in our generosity to the Lord, God says it's like a sweet fragrance. It's an act of worship, but it's so much smaller in comparison to all that God's blessed us with and his unlimited grace. And so when we look at this passage, it is full of joy. There's the joy of the Apostle Paul in seeing the Philippians grow in their joyful giving, the journey that God has them on. There's the joy of the Apostle Paul in receiving this much needed gift and experiencing the joy of the Lord showing up at his front door in a moment of need, of encouragement. And then there's the joy of the Philippians in growing in their own journey of joy, and the joy of God over it all as he's working in us through his people, which is why, finally, joyful giving is about God's promise, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I just love how Paul, as he's wrapping it up, he goes, my God is going to supply all your needs. And he goes, I've experienced God fulfilling his promises. He's going to do it. He'll do it for you too. As you trust him, as sometimes you feel like you're being brought low, and sometimes you feel like things are abounding, finding your contentment through the power and presence of Jesus, no matter what situation you're in, as you're growing in joyful generosity. And so God finishes, to our God and Father, verse 20, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son in our life. Thank you for your gifts that you pour on us all the time. Thank you that no matter what situation we are in, we are rich in you because of who you are. Lord, we thank you for youth who you brought back from retreat. We thank you for your work in the lives of people. We thank you for your work in our life today. And Lord, we just give you our future and give you our finances and just say we love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.